Morning, everybody. Andrea, so for this part, we have the collaboration of our colleague, the data analyst of the TAPE team, Rasul C. He will present the first part. I will present some of the results that we have obtained up to now. So Rasul, thank you for being here. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Dario. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon for some others. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Rasul, to be with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And we are happy to talk about today the data analysis suite and populated with some examples that we have, some results, I should say, that we have found in other pilots. So I would start with the data collection tool, as mentioned by Carolina. We've been using Kobo, which is quite flexible a tool, and which is also very resistant, and it does not really require a lot of like powerful devices. What is interesting is it can also allow us to have some controls for data for quality checks, such as skip patterns, logical checks. If, for instance, a given event information is unlikely, the application works you or whatever. So these are skip patterns and logical checks that help for quality control. It is also interesting in terms of collaborative work, because to program or to make changes on the application, we use Excel to create a COBOL form. So it really helps really have collaborative work. So it happens with Dario and I, for instance, we exchange a lot on the update of the tool. For instance, recently when we had the Albanian version of TAPE, we worked together, he made implemented the changes and I made some changes and uploaded in the server. So this is one of the reasons why it is important to have COBOL. So as you see it, for now, we have 6 UN languages and some other 11 languages. Most of them are located in the Rio region, so which is one of the most dynamic ones in terms of having new languages in TAPE. So it is also secured in our UN server. And one of the strong points of COBOL is that we can work with it offline. Now that we're done with data collection, it is important to see how we can work with, we move forward with data extraction. There are many ways to do it, but for us, we can use COBOL Toolbox to download directly the data in the website, because COBOL Toolbox is both a data collection platform, but it is also a, let's say, a data management platform. So, next step is it is also important to understand how TAPE database works, how it is organized, because before you move forward with the data analysis, you need to understand how it is structured. So in our TAPE database, which is a global database, by the way, which is not only having real data, it also contains data from all over the world. I'll come to that in a few minutes. But the structure is that we have a core data set, the TAPE core data set, where information on step zero, step one, and let's say most of step two are stored. And we have extra tables that are related to crops, where we have repetitions, like different rosters, such as the crops. You know, in a given farm, it is likely to have more than one crop. So if a farm has two crops or more, it is interesting to have them in different, let's say, in it is in, to have them in different tables. But it is always possible to merge them too, because there is a key variable that is in both data sets that we can use to join them together. So this is the same for animals, animal products, chemical, pesticides, and other sections such as youth, etc. It is really important to understand how it works, because the next step which is related to, let's say, data processing, requires a lot of data manipulation and data wrangling, let's say. So, but before then, given that TIP has many languages, you can decide to work on the data set in the language of your choice, except for the names of variables. Unfortunately, we cannot change them, but you can decide to label, for instance, let's say female and male, you can, you know, label it in the language of your choice. It can be in Russian or in Albanian or in whatever other language. The second is, as I said, data manipulation. This includes, like, first of all, filtering relevant data. Let's say you have access, Carolina, or like people in Rio or the Scuola Campesina, they have access to all data that are collected maybe within Rio, but they are interested in a specific data set. They need to filter data because they download all data from Rio, but they will need to filter data. And because it is not, the filtering is not simple because it is not only a one data set. If it was a one data set, we could, you know, delete easily, just select the lines we want in Excel and delete. But because there are many other tables attached to that main data set, it is important to do some kind of mergings before deleting data. Another aspect is to reshape data, because as you know, in the TIP core main data set, each line corresponds to a household. But for the crops or animals, it is not the case, because each line, you know, as we said, a farm can have more than, you know, two types of animals, then two lines can correspond to one single household. So that is a what we call a long format. So it is important to do the manipulation to put it in wide format and then work with it and calculate the indicators. And this includes a lot of merging and other issues. One important thing to consider before diving into the analysis is to make sure that our data is actually cleaned. And that is really important because, you know, everyone knows that data collection comes with what we call measurement errors, like, you know, any sort of errors or maybe typos. It is important to correct them, to check the data, to see if, you know, what we have is really relevant. And these errors may include missing values. Missing values, if they are not treated, they can have a lot of bias in our analysis. And it is, so it is important to look at the missing values. There are some normal missing values, for instance, in the case of skip patterns, for instance, question related to women empowerment. As you know, in TAPE, we have a section on women empowerment, but if you don't have a woman in the household, then you don't have to fill that section. So it is going to be a missing section, but it is normal because we don't have a woman in the household. But there are other missing values that aren't normal at all, because maybe there are like lack of information, maybe enumerators were rushing, etc. That's why we try to constrain to the maximum what we call mandatory questions. As you see in the TAPE form, you would see them preceded with an asterisk, a red star. So that's what is actually suggesting that those are mandatory questions. But still, there may be other missing values that need to be addressed. So addressing missing values may include maybe deletion. Sometimes we can delete them, but sometimes we can impute them, like replacing them with other values, which could be the mean or the median, depending on the type of analysis and on the distribution of our data. Another important issue to consider is the presence of outliers. Outliers are actually values that are really very far from the rest of the data. Let's say you are having you are in a region where people on average have 10 cows, let's say. You know, we have livestock farms that have on average 10 farms, but you see one or two households that have, let's say, 2,000 farms, 2,000 cows, which is probably true, it may be correct, but these are outliers. And if you include them in the analysis, then the average that you're calculating is going to be biased. So you need to check on this kind of data, this if there are outliers or not. And there are some kind of plots that can really help you show that, like see that, such as a box plot, for instance, that can help you see the outliers you have. And these need to be replaced. So most of the time, outliers are to be isolated from the rest of the data, and that is to be checked. Another thing is to check the consistency between core variables. Let's say we are in the step two area where we see that we have the area under agricultural production and the production. You know that the ratio between the two gives you the yield. So the yield is a good statistic that can show you statistical variable that can, you know, give you an idea of like the validity of the response. If we see that the yield we have estimated is far beyond what is theoretically possible, then we know that either the area under agricultural production or the production, one of them is incorrect. And then so we go and correct them. So we're talking about this because it is really critical, and our like credibility and validity of our results depend on that as well. So now that we are done with the data processing, including data cleaning, we talk about data analysis. And data analysis includes many things, but for the case of tape, first of all, it consists of producing CAET, which means step one and step two indicators. So the calculation of these indicators is not something simple. Most of the time in the TAPE team, we do it for our partners. We have codes and, you know, like an automatic way to calculate these indicators and to give it to our partners. But they must be aware of how they are calculated, and we are really trying to be transparent with them on that. So after the, you know, having these CAET and step two indicators, now we can begin what we call this descriptive statistics. And here the analysis plan is needed. The analysis plan is really key. It is the outline of our analysis. Because if you don't have an analysis plan, you see, as Carolina just showed, that we have a huge data set. And just coming in and trying to analyze all variables is nearly impossible. So it is important to have a good idea of the analysis plan. I'm going to share that. Let me show you what the analysis plan looks like. So here is an example. So I have divided the analysis plan into three groups, step zero, CAET, which is step one, and relationships between step one and step two. Because step two on its own, in this case, in the case, it is actually put into context with step one and other, step zero and others. So here you see in table one, this is a simple table, which is just showing the distribution of the different areas. Maybe in the case of a maybe significant sample, you know, no number of households for each of these areas or territories, and then the percentage of this, because this can help have an idea of how the sample has been distributed. The second table is related to the production systems, just like Carolina shows, like it could be monoculture, livestock, polyculture, and others. So this is important to understand the distribution. We can also have in step zero other tables that give us maybe the, you know, the household size. Let me show you the household size, the land area under cultivation, and for each of these variables, we interested in the mean, the standard deviation, the median, the mean, and the max, and that can help us have an idea of this. So this is a kind of table, an example. Now, another example is related to step one. See that we have all like step one, 10 elements. These are the 10 elements actually, and each of them has a score in tape. So we can have this table for which we have the mean and other statistics. And this table is actually what Carolina has just transformed into a graph, into a spider graph or radar graph. So this analysis plan can also have different forms depending on your sample size. So for small sample sizes, it's not really relevant to calculate, you know, advanced statistical scores or features, it is just important maybe to have them as a table for each, like, for instance, in this case, I have 10 farms or 11 farms. For each of these farms, I have the diversity, synergy, and other criteria. So now, last but not least, I'm trying to go fast because there is a lot to show in terms of analysis plan. We have, you know, the relationships. This is the correlation coefficient table between the different, you know, step two indicators and the different CAYET by area. We can also have a table matrix, a correlation matrix between step one and step two variables to see which of the step one elements influence most of, like, step two indicators. Does efficiency or resilience have an impact on women empowerment or on soil health or on dietary diversity? This is basically what this analysis is about. But, you know, I mean, this we can share with the rest of you. This analysis plan is really critical as it helps you go directly to what is critical to your analysis. Now, I will go back to the rest of the presentation before I give the floor to my colleague, Dario. So talking about the data analysis, I just showed the analysis plan. It is also important to consider other types of analysis. Having spider graphs, I mean, is great, or really graphs on its own, but step one, when it is put in relation to other criteria in a given context, can also give very good results and can also help policymakers think about it and see maybe agroecology otherwise. So this type of analysis is a bivariate analysis, which is usually the correlation or like putting graphs and putting together in perspective two types of variables. You can also have multidimensional analysis, which is other factor analysis or principal component analysis, and other statistical tests and regression. So these are advanced analyses that you can, that are really optional. And GIS analysis can also help a lot as having a spatial analysis of step one or step two can be really useful. So the TAPE team really can really bring support to partners using TAPE. Most of the time in the sampling strategy, in the data collection monitoring, the analysis plan, report outline, Excel file with the TAPE indicators that I was talking about. And if interested, we could also share the codes that made those TAPE indicators and as well as other resources that can help build on the tables and graphs, etc. So now we are going to give you some examples from other. GIS by now is used in, let's say, nearly 30 countries throughout, across four regions in the world. And we have more than 2,500 farms that are assessed as of mid-2021. And as I just said, we have six UN languages and 11 other languages. So you see, TAPE is being piloted in almost all regions of the world. So now I'm going to share with you some results that came from one of our pilots in Mali with a sample size of, let's say, nearly 230 households in Mali, in Western Mali. So this map is actually a specialization of the CAYET, which is the step one, the characterization of the agroecological transition in the different districts of our territory of study. So you see that we see that the Western district of Bafilabe, as you can see, is the most advanced, while the, you know, the closer to the red is like our low transition farms. This map goes even further, as it actually gives the specialization and the position of different types of farms. We can see that farms in red are really the low transition farms, and the darker the green are the more advanced farms in the agricultural transition. And this translates, we see that it corresponds to a specific types of farms, as we see that the most advanced are here in what we call diversified family farms, and others, we see that there is a correspondence between the farm typology and the agroecological transition, which can help the project and intervention be more targeted and be more specific, as this geospatial analysis helps tailor activities for different typologies of farms. Now I am going to give back the floor to my colleague Dario so that he can continue with the analysis and sharing results. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rasul. I don't know, maybe Andrea.
Dario, we have five minutes. Okay. Yes, maybe it's better that you finalize and then we get the questions all together.
Okay, because
we are running short, unfortunately.
So maybe I'm thinking it's better to open for the questions because my presentation is a bit more deeper into numbers. And I don't know if there is something clear about that analysis. I prefer that they ask question to what is just been presented.
Okay, perfect. We have question from the floor? Although it was it was quite complex, all the issue, and it's important that we are recording and we will have your presentation so we can go back and listen again and follow again what has been presented just now. And thank you very much for this presentation. Is there any questions now? Then Dario, maybe it's better that you go ahead, but short. Otherwise, we cannot do all the rest of the program.
Okay, that's a pity because I wanted to talk for so long. Anyways, I hope you can see the screen.
Yes.
So this is just, I'm continuing the presentation of Rasul, but just for showing you some results, you know. The idea of having the typologies is really to help the analysis of the data that we have collected, you know. So here in Mali, we have identified three main categories. The diversified family farms, they are more advanced in the agroecological transition, you know, a kite of 67. The conventional farms, that they are advanced in the social part of agroecology, but they are really low in terms of agroecological practices that they implement in the field. And the smallholders specialized in monoculture that are really the least advanced. So this is the step one. You know, this is only one step of tape. We are not really measuring the impact of agroecology here. We are just characterizing the agroecological transition. But even though we can produce very interesting insights, for example, by combining the correlation between the 10 elements and the overall agroecological transition. You know, for example, in my the agroecological transition, we can see these numbers are showing us what is the correlation. So what is the elements that most support the agroecological transition in this area of Mali, in this territory that we are analyzing. So normally somebody would argue that diversity is the most important element for improving the agroecological transition. But actually, in this region of Mali, it's not diversity. Diversity is the least important element. So the real important element here is circular and solidarity economy. Why? Because more advanced agroecological farms in this area are strictly linked to local and territorial market. They are strictly linked to local food systems and food security, sovereignty, and self-sufficiency. So this is the kind of information that we can still produce from step one, so only by the characterization. So for example, we can see that there is also a strong link between resilience and culture and food traditions, which is something that it can be hard to understand, but the data are showing to us that in this territory, the farms that are using more native seeds that have a stronger local or peasant identity, they are actually more resilient. So this is the kind of information we can have with step one. But of course, with the step two, the core criteria of performance, which is maybe the the most boring part of the tape survey, but actually these numbers are used for the creation of evidence on agroecological performance. So this is the actual production of proofs. So I'm showing the same matrix that I showed before, but this one is actually showing the correlation between agroecological transition and the step two, the core criteria, the multidimensional performance. So the blue one means that there is a positive correlation. The red one means that there is a negative correlation. So for example, we can see that there is a negative correlation between agroecological transition and expenditures for productive inputs. So the more advanced agroecological farm will tend to spend less for productive inputs. And we can do the same analysis by element. So we see that the farms that are more advanced in the element of recycling, of course, they will spend much less for productive inputs per hectare, and still they will use much less pesticides for their production, for example. So this is how we can mathematically, statistically create those evidence about the performance of agroecology. So for example, we see the blue parts, there is link between agroecological transition and better dietary diversity. There is a link between agroecological transition and better youth empowerment in agriculture, and better agrobiodiversity within the farm, and better soil health. So we can see that in the end, the multidimensional performance is the actual total score of step two. And we see that there is a positive link between agroecological transition and multidimensional performance, meaning that the more advanced agroecological farm will actually score better on different dimensions of sustainability. So these numbers might look a bit scary. I'm just showing you some graphs that translate these numbers into pictures. So to, just to be a bit clearer. So these are the typologies that I've showed you before. You can see that the conventional farms spend maybe three times more on average than the other categories for agrochemicals, machineries, and livestock. So on the right one, we see the net revenue from agriculture. We see that these farms in the end, even if they produce more, their net revenue is lower because they spend a lot for inputs. And the same happens for larger farms and smallholders. So larger farms, agroecological, and smallholders, more agroecological, they have better net revenues than conventional farms or smallholders farm in monoculture. From a social perspective, I already said, so the youth empowerment, we can use the categories of agroecological transition in the left. These are the exact same data, the youth empowerment index on the same territory. But the left graph is showing the different categories of agroecological transition. So divided by overall performance. And the right one, we are using the same data, but with the typologies. So this can help to have a better analysis. So the left graph is saying us that more advanced agroecological farm will tend to have more empowered youth that wants to stay in the rural area and prefers to be a farmer, while they're showing actually the different typologies of farms. So both for both large and smallholder farms, the more advanced agroecological ones have better youth empowerment. So I have a lot of other graphs to show, but unfortunately we are running out of time. So this is just to resume that, just to remind you that the steps of TAPE have different meaning, have different functions, and can create different information. So even only for, if we do an analysis on step one only, we can produce very interesting insights on the 10 elements, on the territory, on the advancement of agroecology. But if we want really to produce evidence, numeric evidence about the performance of agroecological system, we have to use step two. And we have to produce numeric data about the performance of these farms. Let me just remind you before closing that actually these criteria are not fixed. So you can actually use and attach any methodology or indicators that you want to focus or your analysis on. So if you want to, for example, provide information about agroecology and climate change, you can attach to tape any methodology that measures climate change or climate change adaptation of farms and make the correlation between your two variables. So this is the end. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Thank you so much for your attention.